Hi, I'm Sabice. I'm an infrastructure engineer at Quid. We are hiring, by the way. If you're interested, come talk to me afterward. So this is actually mostly from my experience as a consultant. I was a consultant for about 2.5 years. I got the chance to look into basically the dark underbelly of a whole bunch of companies in a very short amount of time. And what I saw was everybody rolling their own everything everywhere. And I really couldn't believe that this was possible. So I started asking my friends who work in the industry what their companies were doing, and almost all of them told me that not only was their current company doing this, but most of their previous companies were also. And so this is just a couple of the areas where I saw people rolling their own stuff, and this is not supposed to be like a comprehensive list. This is just like in these three sections, like there's clearly some options. This isn't even all of the options, so why aren't people using this? And when I asked, I got answers that looked, well, that really ran like the spectrum. On one end, like, okay, there was nothing available when we wrote this, a few years ago. That seems like a fine answer. On the other end of the spectrum, I got, well, I don't really like reading the manual. I just like hacking on my own stuff. And then I got a whole bunch of stuff in the middle. And I think only one of those answers is actually acceptable and doesn't really answer why are we still using this? Like, maybe nothing existed when we wrote it, but something does now. Why haven't we changed? So maybe the problem is people don't understand how much rolling your in-house tools actually costs. So maybe we should start there. Relying on in-house ops tools introduces risk. Risk just being how the likelihood that something that you don't like happening is going to happen. So what's so risky about your in-house tools? Well, how many people have actually dug into the source code? What happens if the one dude who wrote this, or I guess potentially one lady who wrote this, what if they leave? How hard is it for them to go on vacation? Are they allowed to go on vacation because something that your company relies on them? If they get hit by a bus, who runs this? Does everything grind to a halt because nobody actually knows how to run this in their absence? Where's the documentation? Where's the testing? A lot of these things are not in place, and what happens if this person disappears is just simply not thought about in my experience. So it seems pretty risky. There's also like the loss of momentum is pretty pricey. Like especially if you're at like a new startup, then you want your new hires to really get like hit the ground running, be useful as quickly as possible. If every time they start a new company, they have to learn a new tool set, it's going to slow them down. If you just use an industry standard tool, like, hey, like we use Chef everywhere. If you come in knowing how to use Chef, you'll be useful right away. That's so much easier. And then there's also like, what are we even here for? Like, why would you want to be an infrastructure engineer? What kind of value are you supposed to be providing to the company? I guarantee you, unless you work at Chef, writing your own configuration management tool is not what the company needs. They need the configuration to be managed. They don't need you to work on the tool. You could be investigating distributed tracing. You could be putting things into auto-scaling groups. You could be doing a million things that actually help the company that's not maintaining this in-house mess. All right, so sometimes you do have to roll your own, but when is that okay? So there's a few things that you should probably ask yourself before you start going down the path of writing your own. So first, have we polled the greater ops community for solutions? And this is just like, get your team to go on IRC, go to a meetup and just be like, hi guys, I need a thing, any solutions? Usually people are really helpful and will come to your aid if you just describe a need. But okay, maybe you don't get any answers there. So what about the proprietary options? Have you estimated the cost of those compared to how much it's going to take to maintain an in-house solution? This one's kind of tricky because you have to do your estimation of the in-house solution in a particular way. If you're just like, okay, yeah, we're going to spend like 1 week, we're going to write it once, it's going to be totally fine, it's going to work forever, of course it's going to look cheaper. It's always going to look cheaper. But if you weigh in the time of like, okay, we have to write it once, we also have to test it, we have to document it, we have to schedule time for feature requests, we have to schedule time for regular maintenance, and we have to somehow disseminate all of this knowledge, then if you include all of that stuff, then you have something closer to an estimation of how much this is actually going to cost you. And if you use a proprietary solution, you kind of get to offload all of that onto somebody else. Not saying that proprietary solutions are always the answer, but can be. Okay, so maybe there are no proprietary solutions, or that's just not going to work. Maybe there are open source solutions. Have you looked at those? Have you tried to contribute to them if they don't meet all of your needs? You're going to get a couple good pieces of information here if you go down this route and just submit a PR. How quickly do they respond to you? If the answer is in 3 months, then maybe this is not going to be the solution for you. But maybe they'll respond in a week. Maybe they won't respond at all. But that will tell you if it's a viable tool for you to contribute to and use. All right, so if that doesn't work and you still need something, is there anything that you can fork that is unmaintained? Like maybe the maintainer retired. But at least you don't have to build your entire thing yourself. You have something to work with, and then it's also written in such a way where it's already open source, so you can just ask people to contribute to this new thing. Like maybe it had a bunch of contributors at some point that would still like to contribute to it, but the maintainer left. Water. Okay, so if you really have to roll it yourself, I don't think I've ever seen at any company, except for the one that I work at now, thoroughly tested and documented operations tools. Maybe I've just been unlucky. I don't know. Anyhow, the standards that you apply to your applications, thorough testing, thorough documentation, like it really needs to apply to your ops tools. Like, no exceptions, no rushing. This has to be there because of how important it is for this thing to work all the time. Also, keep it small. The tool that I was working on when I was at my last client is basically the reason why I was like, what is going on here? And I mean, it had a web interface, it had its own configuration management, like it called Ansible, but it also did configuration management stuff. Very confusing. It touched console, it did all of the nightly builds, it did absolutely everything. So if you're going to go in and try to like replace feature sets here, you're going to be ripping out a chunk of this giant code. And now you just have to kind of hope that when you put everything together, minus this piece that you've replaced with an industry standard tool, that everything still continues to work. It's just way more complicated, so just keep your tools small so it's easier to replace later. Also, you have to allow enough time in your sprints for feature requests. You can't just like rush these new features in and hope that everything works perfectly and nothing ever breaks. I mean, you can, but I think we all know that doesn't work. Okay, so if you're... You might be in a position where you have these in-house tools and you're ready to get rid of them now. If that's the case, this won't be super useful. But if you are going to write your own things and you know that this is not a long-term solution. Like someone's going to come up with an open source or an industry standard solution to this eventually, and we don't really want to keep this. In my experience, it's best to just make this public knowledge immediately because you don't want to get into a situation where someone feels like you're killing their babies because you don't like them, because that's really not the case. I've seen a lot of just political mess around this specific thing because people took it personally that you didn't want to use their tool anymore. So it's better to just make it known up front that this is, not really the goal. Okay, so allowing time for research. I don't know if a quarterly basis is good, maybe every 6 months. That's really up to your company. But basically, this will give you the chance to look into other alternatives that you can maybe replace everything with. Right now, when I first started at my company, we were using an in-house deployment tool written in Python. I'm really not a fan of this, and so myself and another coworker have taken some time to investigate Spinnaker, which seems like it's actually going to work out super well. But In addition to doing the research, and if you find a thing that you think is going to work, estimating how long it's going to take to actually implement that thing is another like piece here. The estimations by my coworkers were like, yeah, we can totally implement this. By the end of the year, all of your woes around our in-house deployment tool are completely over. As soon as I started implementing some of the features that our in-house tool does in Spinnaker, because it basically allows you to like add whatever steps that you want, I realized, no, this is like a super over-optimistic estimation. There's no way that we can possibly do this by the end of the year. Like, maybe double your estimation for how long you think it's going to take to actually replace one of these tools, because it takes a very long time. Okay, so you have your own tool. Maybe it's really good. Maybe you wrote it the right way, and you want outside contributors. So yeah, you can open source it. This is a really difficult path from what I've read. It seems like you have to have someone to like manage the community and maybe even dedicate just like a full-time person to like your open source projects. This is not really feasible at a small startup. Like, I've talked about it with my infrastructure team, but there's three of us. So this is not something that we could do. However, I realize that if everybody just uses everyone else's free stuff and nobody contributes to the community, then there's nothing to use. So larger companies, definitely try to open source your stuff. Okay, yeah, that was fast questions.